Iowa is known far and wide for corn and soybeans, but those of us who live here know that Iowa is so much more. I'm Charity Nebbe, from agriculture to high culture. Each day on Talk of Iowa, I talk to farmers, artists, authors, musicians, scientists, athletes, and others who make Iowa what it is. Talk of Iowa, weekday mornings at 10 on Iowa Public Radio.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The testimony in the Derek Chauvin trial is done. Closing arguments taking place as I speak. Minneapolis on edge. The entire nation anxiously awaiting the outcome of the trial. The verdict, which could come down this week after the jury of seven women and five men reaches its decision. This half hour, my guests are two black Iowa lawmakers. Phyllis Thede is with us, a representative in the Iowa House, a District 93, a Democrat from Davenport. And her Democratic colleague, Akeo Abdul-Samad, is a House representative in District 35 in Des Moines. Representatives, welcome to our program. Once again, it's been a while since we've had you on. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. It's glad to be back on the air. Unfortunately, it's at a very crucial, difficult and challenging time. So hopefully I'll be able to come back and we'll have some lighter to talk about.
That is a wonderful wish. let's mark that down, make a mental note of that. Well, I want to reach out to our listeners this half hour. Your thoughts and questions for our guests as we await the verdict of the Derek Chauvin trial. Of course, a trial that set off a death that set off a firestorm of protests around the country last year, not only to protest that death, George Floyd's killing, but also the killings of other African Americans at the hands of police. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. You could also email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Representative Thede, may I start with you? I don't know how closely you followed the trial. Can you share your thoughts on what you've seen, felt, thought as this trial has proceeded?
I sure can, and I did follow some of it. I was able to watch as different people gave testimony, and I think one of the biggest things that really tugs at your heart is when and I can't remember his name, but he just lost it, and they had to end up stopping and giving him a moment, to gather his thoughts.
Yep.
I think it was emotional. I think it was too much to bear. As you know, that picture of the knee on George Floyd's neck was too much. It was overwhelming. And as many watched as I did, it was to the point where you thought, does he know that he is causing damage to this man? And the world watched, and it was devastating, absolutely devastating. What made this worse was that his death was so unnecessary. My feelings for the family and my feelings for the nation are one and the same. We still are at this point where African American males are being killed. And I don't understand that. I wish I knew. This should not be a pattern, but it is. And we need to stop this pattern. This is a place, United States is a place where we have been richly rewarded, but in the areas of racial equity, not so much. I'll stop there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Sorry to cut you off, but I think you were finished. Representative Thede, thank you. To Representative Abdul-Samad, your thoughts on this trial.
One of the things that I thought was mind-settling for me was listen to the children testify. And I think when you hear the children testify, then you look at how this traumatized not only the people that were standing there watching, not only Minnesota, you know, but the nation. You know, you now have a nation that is on pins and needles. You know, in your opening statement, you were talking about Minnesota and, you know, especially being on pins and needles, but how the nation is watching. Will we have a possibility of actually happening, you know, depending on the verdict, is to see what the same situation that we had in the 60s, the same situation that we had last year, you know, and so you have a nation right now on pins and needles, and I don't think individuals are preparing for that, you know, and that's really unfortunate.
Let's talk about that. I want to find out what's behind your words there. Just to remind ourselves, Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to two murder charges and one manslaughter charge. For the second-degree murder charge, the 12 jurors will have to agree that prosecutors prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Chauvin committed a felony, in this case, assault that resulted in Floyd's death. Representative Abdul Samad, in your view, if Chauvin is found guilty, how much does it matter which of these three charges he is found guilty of?
I think it matters a great deal. If it's a lesser of the charge, I think we're going to have the same reaction, you know, with what's really on trial here, and that is justice. You know, America is on trial here. This is not just a focus on what is going on in Minnesota. We have America justice system that actually is in this courtroom, and everything that individuals are doing in this courtroom is a focus on how America sees it. You know, and that's also with the buildup of the emotion of the young 20-year-old that was killed, the 13-year-old that was killed. You know, what you're looking at now, you know, the Breonna Taylors, you know, what you're looking at is a buildup of emotion, you know, from Trayvon Martin on, you know, and from Emmett Till on, to be honest. But you're looking at that. So we're looking at emotion that now has put America on trial, and individuals don't want to look at it that way. But that's the reality, you know, because you and Representative Thede said it, you have individuals that are saying we're tired of young black males or black males being killed. We're tired of the injustice in this country. We're tired of not seeing any type of reform that is taking place that is dealing with the root causes.
Mm-hmm. We want to talk about legislation in as Iowa lawmakers. We certainly want to touch on that in a minute after we get a couple of more reflections on this trial. Representative Thede, weigh in here. What sort of crossroads does this trial and this verdict represent in the way our nation is coming to terms with racism? What would you, for instance, think would happen should the verdict be not guilty?
I think at that point, if there is a not guilty found in this case, I think as all Americans, we need to sit back and take stock about what this means. We need to react in a way that will move forward a more positive view of people of color. I think what Americans have to do is say, enough. We are tired of this. We will not allow this to happen anymore. And the reason why I want the American people to do that is because this is something that it represents them as well. And so I would ask that the American people say, this is enough. We're done. We're done with this type of killing. We should not allow one more person of color to be killed. And whether it's intentional or unintentional or intentional, it doesn't matter. It is the fact that we need to make that loud and say that is enough. And the American people can do that. They can do that. And I trust that they can. But we all have to come together and we all have to decide no more killings.
If you've just joined us, I have two state representatives in the Iowa House, two Democrats. You've just been listening to Representative Phyllis Thede, House District 93 of Davenport, and Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad, Democrat from Des Moines. Let's switch to talk a little bit more about your work in the legislature, what has been accomplished or perhaps not accomplished in your view since last year, the outbreak of protests last spring. Since the killing of George Floyd, U.S. states have passed over 140 police oversight bills. My source, the New York Times there, increasing accountability and overhauling rules on the use of force, including some changes here in Iowa. Amid last year's protests, Iowa lawmakers collaborated on bipartisan police reform let me list a few of the things: ban chokeholds, revoke certifications for officers who were fired due to misconduct, give the Iowa Attorney General power to investigate officers' wrongdoing that results in death, and require implicit bias and de-escalation training. At that time, Democrats and Republicans alike called the bill a good start. I don't know about the two of you, but Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad, do you feel Iowa lawmakers have passed adequate legislation in regard to racial justice and policing in the state?
I believe that we, unfortunately, begin taking steps backwards this session. I think that what we did last session with the More Perfect Union bill, we reacted to the ills of this country that began to have us to address the root causes. And then we went straight from there to cosmetic addressing, you know, with bills that have passed this session so far, and in not addressing the issue, you know, of racial profiling, not addressing the issue of actual reform, you know, criminal reform. We took steps backwards. I think individuals moved to do what was right to be able to address the ills that we have in this country. But I also want to point out just quickly is that we can pass every piece of legislation in the world, but if we don't go in and start dealing with the root causes and deal with individuals, you know, then we lose. You know, we continue to lose. We continue to deal. If we don't deal with the mindset and the training, you know, the police officers, we don't deal with the mindset of building relationships between law enforcement and community, you know, and including leadership in the community when we're crafting legislation, we have not begun even to touch the tip of the iceberg. All we did was put words on paper, and we called them law, you know. And if everybody obeyed the law of all the laws we put on paper, we would not be holding this conversation now.
Representative Thede, before we go to a caller or two, let me have you weigh in on what, I assume, what further kind of reform you see as necessary.
You know, it's amazing if you, and you already stated it, and that is that you've listed the things that the More Perfect Union did last year. It was a wonderful start. And my hope was that this year that we were going to expound on that More Perfect Union bill. That was my hope. We didn't do that. We took a step backwards and did the Back to Blue bill. It was as if we're going to rid ourselves of the More Perfect Union bill and replace it with the Back to Blue. Mm-hmm. I think that's a telling story. Telling story is that we don't want to make a difference. We don't want changes. And I think that sends a terrible message to the people of Iowa. I think for the most part, Iowans want to see justice done. They want to see us put bills that move forward in a positive way. We started that last year. We were all one accord, and the people of Iowa asked us to work together. We did that. We showed them last summer that all of us could craft a bill, come together on every level, Senate, House, and governor. We did it all. This year, we took it back. And that's a terrible message that now that all Iowans will have to pay attention to. And I tell you what, that really just, it really breaks my heart to watch this. The day that Back to Blue bill passed, it was very, very disheartening.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think this feeling of collaboration that was there last year that you described as wonderful, Representative Thede, changed so drastically in your view?
Well, I think over time, and I, just like anything else, we've seen a number of African-Americans killed since then. And I think what happened was that people began to look at this and got scared and said, oh, my goodness. Rather than moving forward to make it better, we had our politicians move backwards. And as Representative Abdul Samad talked about, we have got to do, you know, we have got to look at the systemic racism. We've got to look at it, but we can't get the majority party to do that. If you're not willing to look at systemic racism, then we're going to get bills like the Back to Blue. So that's where we're at right now.
Quickly running out of time, I want to get in at least one caller before we wrap up this part of our conversation, and a conversation to be continued for sure in the coming weeks. Chris is with us in Des Moines. I have to ask you to be concise. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say thank you for taking my call. Part of the problem is with the what the Republicans have passed, and I think what we have to make clear also, there's two types of Republicans now at the state. You have your Republicans, then you have your Trump Republicans. A lot of your Trump Republicans are a lot of bigots, bottom line. And so if you don't deal with the race issue, with the bigotry, even the gentleman that you just had on, Grassley, no question was asked about the bigotry that he has held up with the last president. And so that stuff has to be dealt with. It just has to be. You can't keep putting your head in the sand, acting as if it doesn't happen. It happens on a daily basis, especially to us as people of color. We deal with it all the time, every day, all day. We shouldn't have to, but we do. And so until, like Brother Akil just said, until we deal with the systemic racism of the police department, not just the police department, jobs, it's because it's all over. It's all over. And so until we deal with that situation, we're going to always have this problem.
Chris, I hear the exasperation and the frustration in your voice. Thank you for calling in with your view from Des Moines today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Representative Abdul Samad, react to that. That is what, precisely what you're talking about. And I guess one thing that I get as a white Iowan, if we can look at progress, do you think that the awareness has been raised among non-black Americans, non-black Iowans, about the disparities, the treatment of black men in particular when it comes to policing?
I believe that on a certain level, awareness has been raised without a doubt, but we still haven't entered into the conversations. We still haven't talked about what needs to be done. Not, you know, until we actually have those conversations. What broke down from last year with my Republican colleagues to this year is that during the interim, we never had the conversations. We never asked, why did we do the perfect union bill, and what effect did this have, and how do we continue to make this work? We never had that conversation, and that's what our problem is.
What is preventing those conversations? You going across the aisle to start up those conversations? Those of us who are not lawmakers, which are the majority of us, might not understand why that can't just happen as you wish it to happen.
Because it's just like in society and those who aren't lawmakers, because of the fact that when we say let's have the conversation, instead of having real conversation, we want conversations that are cosmetic. You know, we don't want, and then we don't want the conversation to say, I need to check my racism. I need to check where I'm at. I need to check my privileges, you know, and then we have to be able to open up those type of conversations. We have reached across the aisle. You know, we Representative Ruth Ann Gaines every Tuesday holds a diversity lunch and learn. The question is asking why haven't more individuals or Republicans and even more Democrats haven't attended the lunch and learns and covering the different issues that are there. Why have we not been able to go into the rural community and hold some town meetings? You know, we are willing to do that. Several of us are willing to do that. But now we have to make this a priority. That's the problem. It's not a priority on the list because once your comfort zone is challenged, you know, you either do one or two things. You either back away from it and try to find another comfort zone, or you address it head on and start saying, okay, we got to start dealing with some real conversations, some realities of what we're facing each and every day.
Okay. The last, we have a bit less than a minute. Representative Thede, the last word to you. Any thoughts that you haven't shared, takeaways, messages for our audience as far as you're concerned?
You bet. Kind of following along with Representative Ocasio Dulcimar said, you know, the only time we seem to talk about people of color, it's in the negative. And what I mean by that is that the thing of killing of George Floyd, the killing of all of our African-American males, that's when we talk about it. We never seem to get to talk about the positives that happen with people of color, the interactions. The interactions that we have are limited. The interactions when we talk to them are limited. And until we can move past those limitations, we cannot move further past racial equality. And that's all we're really asking. This is about having a conversation that allows us to be part of the rest of the society that, you know, helps us move, work, play, and just function, you know, in our world. Okay. And until we can do that, it won't be possible.
State Representatives Phyllis Thede and Akeo Abdul-Samad, thank you so much for joining us. Let's make it not so long until we have you back on our airwaves. Thank you for being with us this hour.
You bet.
Thank you.
River to River, produced by Rick Brewer today. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.